Our next speaker is Kevin from the Scion Association. He is the community engagement manager and he supports the Scion technical community in its standardization efforts. And we have heard of Scion before, but he wants to give us a little bit of a new perspective on which trajectory the project is going. And we will have time for questions later on, so we will cover technical and non-technical aspects. And I hope I saw him. I hope he's here. Yes. Ah, you're still being cabled. But we are good in time. So the next speaker, because lightning talks are 10 minutes, can already go up to the audio booth, and then we can get started.
All right.
Welcome, Kevin.
We can probably start already. Okay, thank you. So as Francisca says, some of you may have heard about Scion, you may have heard different things. But actually, it is a growing deployment in Switzerland, and it's actually starting to be deployed outside of Switzerland as well. So you may well get some customers coming to you and asking if you're an ISP or if you're an IXP. You may come and get some requests or some interest in Scion. So we really just wanted to, you know, really just give a dispel the myth type of talk. Not so much about the technology, but really about, you know, where we're trying to position Scion. So, fortunately, Gerrit gave a very good presentation this morning, which described the problems of BGP routing, particular the route leaks and route hijacks. And I think there's a good percentage of network engineers in this room, so I think it probably doesn't need to be. We don't need to go over and go through the problems that these cause. But one thing I think he didn't mention was that actually the issues of data sovereignty breaches. So in other words, the path that the data is taking through the networks. And this is something that has become a sort of a little bit kind of not been paid too much attention to. There's been a lot of issues, you know, a lot of discussion around things like GDPR and data protection, but that's more perhaps on servers and with respect to encrypting the data itself. But in terms of the data, the path that it takes through the networks, this is becoming more of an issue. And in fact, there have been a number of incidents in the last few years where data has been transferred through a country that it perhaps shouldn't have gone through. So there are been a number of solutions being proposed or actually being adopted at the moment. Again, we heard this morning about RPKI and ROV, which goes a long way to addressing some of these issues. But one of the issues there is it is not fully deployed yet, and it doesn't solve all of the problems with BGP routing. You've also had BGP-SEC proposed and developed in recent years. That still has to be fully deployed, when in fact it's very little deployment at the moment, if any deployment. And there's also a number of issues around that. So another solution that's been proposed is ASPA, which is, I think, working its way through the ITF at the moment. But that works out of band. But again, this doesn't address all of the issues with respect to path security. So this is where Scion comes in. And I think we need to, really starting off and try to dispel some myths that you may have heard. And one that's often heard, is Scion trying to replace the internet? The answer is that it isn't. Scion actually works with the existing internet, but it's really trying to address some of the shortcomings of BGP for particular user groups. It introduces this concept of trusted ASs, and the aim is to provide greater assurances about path security. It isn't just an experimental technology for researchers. There is a research and education network. Actually, University of Magdeburg participates in that and actually has quite a bit of global deployment. But Scion is also deployed in the Swiss Secure Financial Network currently, which is used by Swiss banks and payment networks. And it's also being rolled out in the Swiss Healthcare Network as well. So it does have real use, real commercial deployment at the current time. And we are going through trying to document this at the ITF. The aim is to encourage interoperability and to encourage other solutions, other vendors and other providers to come into the market. So as I mentioned, it's sort of mainly being used by the financial and healthcare sector at the moment, but also being looked at by a number of other critical infrastructure industries, particularly in the sort of defense, aviation, and power utility worlds. And in fact, this is already supported by five ISPs at the moment, and there's one IXP supporting Cyan, and it's actually under evaluation by quite a few other ISPs at the moment. Okay, but why are we doing this? So actually, we talk a lot about the internet and IP-based networking, but quite a lot of critical infrastructures in a number of, shall we say, traditional sectors are running on quite old legacy infrastructures. And some of these are not even IP-based, and some of these are actually not even networks. They're the telephone system. So these, in many cases, have been in place for a number of years, and in some cases, decades. And they're coming up in these sort of very long procurement cycles, coming up for renewal. And it's being realized that these are really expensive to maintain. You also can't get the sort of personnel to support these anymore. And the sort of realization is, well, actually, we've got to go out and replace a lot of these infrastructures with IP-based networks. And in fact, they're saying, okay, IP networks have proven themselves. They're reliable. They're relatively secure. You can buy them off the shelf from a number of providers, and you can get the resilience that you need. Because the other thing is, a lot of these traditional legacy infrastructures have not got a great deal of resilience. So I say, okay, well, let's try to use these off-the-shelf type services. But actually, we do need to have more assurances about data sovereignty and path security through those networks. And we've also got to have support for inter-domain traffic, and we've also got to have multi-ISP support for this. And just one example is the aviation sector. So I'm not going to go through all of this in the interest of time, but this is running on a very old serial type protocol, which links all of the sort of flight information centers and the airport towers and the airport control centers, airline control centers. And this is really running on a telephone network. And this is coming up for renewal in the next sort of few years. So there's an opportunity here really to, it's a relatively closed internet ecosystem, but there's opportunities here to really utilize commodity internet networks, but with that path security on top of that. Okay, if you're interested in the actual technical details, the whole slide deck that's online does actually have more information about this. But Cyan is basically based around the concept of trust domains, which are self-administering. They run their own PKIs. You can run your intra-AS protocols as normal, but essentially Cyan runs this beaconing system between trusted ASs, which isolates the control planes. You can actually interwork or interoperate with other ISDs, but that's based on the policy of the ISD itself. So basically, user groups have control over which networks are in their trusted domain and who they actually will connect with. So real-world example is the Swiss Secure Swiss Finance Network. And one of the reasons, so this has been being rolled out as we speak. It's been sort of started about 2 years ago, I think, around 300 institutes connected to this at the moment. And really, they chose Cyan because it does have this enforceable governance concept. You know, they can be sure that who they're connecting with has been vetted, they conform to certain policies. They're using certificates that have been issued by SIX, which is the sort of Swiss the Swiss financial ISP. But more specifically, they are that enforces geofencing. And this could also be used with a number of ISPs. So I think there's five ISPs that are currently supporting this network. Not just finance. So I mentioned the healthcare network already. That's currently being rolled out. The education network's actually been operating for quite some time. Again, Magdeburg in Germany is part of that European R&E network. Giant is a participant. But there's also a number of other extensions out to the US, to the Asia-Pacific region, and also to Latin America as well. Swiss IX supports this, and one of the reasons is because, you know, as I mentioned, this legacy critical infrastructure is coming up for replacement in coming years, so this is important for organizations or infrastructure providers like IXPs to actually support this, because this is going to become more important in, I would say, in the next 5 years. There are two implementations. There is a commercial implementation provided by Anapaya Systems, so that's used by the Swiss Financial Network. But there is also an open source version as well, which is maintained by the Scion Association, who I'm working for, and that's been rolled out in some networks as well. So that can be taken and can be deployed on various platforms. Really mentioned the ITF. We're working to document the specification. It's currently going through the ITF. So that, again, with that is to encourage interoperability, to encourage other providers to come into the market. And then just finally, just want to mention the Scion Association. We're a not-for-profit association that's supported by a number of vendors and ISPs. And financial institutes. So this is not just a single vendor solution. This is a you know, sort of quite a diverse community. And that's it. I think that's time. If you're more interested in more information, you can find it in the book. You can find it in the internet drafts. I think it's actually published by a German publisher as well. So you'll help support the German publishing industry. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Anyone? Okay, so I will jump in again. We've talked about this before. I mean, in the past, Scion looked more like, oh, we are here to give you a new internet, a completely new architecture, and the results have been mixed, let's say. Yeah. But speaking with my internet governance hat on, where in this multi-stakeholder model of what many of us are doing for years at this point does Scion live or wants to establish itself?
Well, I think the thing with it is it can sit where you want it to sit. So, I mean, I think it gives you the control. So if you want to have your... a lot of the internet is about openness, and it's about interconnection with other, you know, other countries and other ISPs and interworking. But it does all that, and it can support that. But also, you can have your closed ecosystem if you need that, and you can use the commodity internet to support that. And I think, you know, you can set the rules of who belongs to that. You can set the rules of who you connect to and how you connect to them. And I think, and you can enforce that with policy. And I think that that's probably where it sits in the governance ecosystem.
Okay, and from a more technical perspective, if I now realize, okay, I may operate critical infrastructure, I am interested in that, what are the first steps to take to engage with you?
So I think, you know, we're in a sort of little bit of a chicken and egg situation at the moment. So we need to have ISPs and IXPs to support this before we can support this with customers. But then we also need customers to go to the ISPs and IXPs to ask for this. So I think it's a little bit of trying to put... So we're talking to a lot of people at the moment who say, we have this problem, we have this solution. And I think it's putting people together, talk to us. We know who the providers are. We know who the customers are. And I think we'll try to put them together and we can have that discussion of, you know, whether there's a this can okay. be supported.
Thank you.